Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And have I got a very, very extremely important episode today. I don't have Brenda. Nope. I don't have Celeste. Nope. I don't have Erica. Nope. I have a very special guest. You know, what is the one set of skills that you could add as a hypnotist that would make an effect on everything that you do? And I'll tell you what that is. NLP. And so for a long time, myself and Dr. William Horton, or as I call him, Will, have been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, about having him on the program. And so we finally, I don't know, maybe the, you know, Saturn went into Aquarius or the moon went into Pluto. I don't know this stuff, but it all came together. And so I have him. Okay. Let me introduce him, why I'm so excited about Will Horton. Dr. William Horton, PsyD, CADC, CMI, considered to be by many one of the world's leading hypnosis trainers. He's a licensed psychologist. He's a certified alcohol and drug counselor, a master hypnotist instructor. He's one of only six trainers for the National League of Hypnotists with that designation, master certified instructor. He's one of the few non-law enforcement people to be asked to attend the FBI crisis and hostage negotiation course at the FBI Academy. He's the author of the best-selling book, Mind Control, How to Get Others to Do What You Want and Have Them Think It Was Their Idea. Also, NLP sales, as well as Primary Objective, Neuro-Linguistic Psychology, and Guerrilla Warfare. And to tell you the truth, that's all a mouthful. I can't believe I'm getting that all out. And co-author of Psychology of Sales. His articles are considered must-read articles in the field of hypnotism and psychology. His passion for this technology comes from personal experience, and he has a black belt and has won tournaments and has been published in martial art journals. So how's that for one heck of I don't want to call him a co-host, a guest speaker, and you're going to learn. We're going to do three videos. I've got him wrapped up for three videos. He's going to teach you stuff that you can use tomorrow in your sessions. Here's the first one he's going to teach you. Quick submodality shift, which is a way to quickly change the way people think about things for changing habits. Number two, he's going to teach you, give you an introductory to timeline therapy, which is a different approach to age aggression, and it's something that's especially useful with sports and also with performance issues, enhancing performance. Thought stopping process is going to be the third one, to get rid of those reoccurring thoughts that just come over and over again. He told me that he found this especially useful when working with PTSD. So one quick thing before he starts teaching you all this good stuff. In addition to having him on these three videos, Will has also agreed to come to the Banyan Hypnosis Center to teach his ultimate basic NLP certification course. And that's going to be on June 19th through June 22nd. That's a Friday through Monday this year, 2015. You can get all the details on this site. I'll have a link below. But also you can just go to www.calbanyan.com/NLP. Now let me tell you one thing. If you decide to take this course, you're gonna know someone in the class, because I'm not a master NLP person. I'm not even certified and basic NLP. So I've been putting this off for a long time, and I managed to bring Will to my center. He's going to teach a course, and you're going to take the course with me. I'm going to be a student of Will Horton's. That's how much I look forward to and admire the work that he does. All right, limited space. 18 to 22 people is the only amount of people we can fit in our classroom comfortably. So if you want to get in early. You also get a early registration discount. Okay, with that, how you doing, Will?
I'm doing great, Cal. How are you doing? I'm finally glad to be doing this at your center, and and doing some business with you. We've talked about it for years, but our schedules never coincided, so it's wonderful to finally get to do it and to return to the West Coast.
Hey, how long has it been since you've been out here?
At least 10 or 12 years. It's been a long time since I've been to the West Coast at all, and to Southern California, probably 15 years.
Wow. So this is really good for the people who've been looking forward to going to your class but didn't want to go all the way out to Florida where you're at, right?
Right. So they say that. It's local, and we'll do it with a California vibe.
Hey, I'm all about the California vibe. Hey, so can you just give everybody like a thumbnail sketch, kind of a quick introduction of how you got interested in NLP and decided to start teaching it and stuff?
Well, it's a great question. I got interested in NLP like a lot of people. It was about self-development and making some changes. And I was kind of stuck in an addiction cycle. I couldn't quite get out of it. And, you know, through the luck, if you want to call it that, blessings, I like to think of it, some people were placed in my life that taught me some basic NLP-type techniques with some hypnosis. So it started me not only on the road to the personal recovery, it led me on a quest to learn as much as I could about it. And so I went back and became an NLP practitioner, which when I did it back in the mid to early 80s, it was easier to become an NLP practitioner than it was a hypnotist. So I got my NLP training. Then I got back into the hypnosis, you know, from reading about it and doing things. And so it's been an interesting journey for me to kind of put the two back together, which, in my opinion, they were always meant to be. And now it's my joy to bring this information to as many people as I can.
Now, it's not like, you know, one day you just started teaching. You had a background in using NLP for yourself and helping others first, right?
Oh, yeah, and I think one of the great things, and what you do too also, Cal, that I respect and admire, and a lot of us do in the NLP and the hypnosis community, is that we're not just teachers or trainers. We actually do the work. I mean, I know you have a master's in clinical in psych, and one of the things I love about the NLP and the hypnosis is it's not just theory. Most of us teach things that work in the real world. I know when I was I was blessed to go back to school and get my doctorate in clinical psychology. And one of the disconnects that happened to me in the psychological world is the people that are, you know, just in university. They don't have a private practice. They don't work with people. So for the last 20 years since I really started teaching this, I've always seen live clients and, you know, do the work in the real world. So I only teach things that I know works. That works with real life clients and real life situations. And so I'm constantly trying to cut the fluff out and deliver the material in the most user-friendly, fast and effective way so people can, you know, go and learn some techniques and implement them instantly.
You know, as you're talking about that, I'm writing some notes. There's a couple things that I think is really cool about your course is you're going to use NLP to teach NLP, and you use what works. And that tells me that, you know, you still see clients, you're still having to, you know, help people in real time. It's not just theory, right?
Right. I'm seeing clients who don't care that I've written books or I teach seminars, I do this other stuff. They just want to do the things that people come to us for, you know, stop smoking, lose weight, stress management, get rid of habits and other things. And I do a lot with addictions and sport performance. So, you know, they just want the results. So when I go and I learn a new technique or I read a book or I'm at a seminar and I'm integrating the information, I go back and test it in the real world to make sure that it works. So when I I do it not just once or twice, but a couple of dozen times to kind of work it out to make it my own. And then when I teach it, much like what you do, I try to teach the clients, you know, here's the format, here's the structure, here's how it works. Now, once you get comfortable with it, of course, you'll tweak it a little bit and make it uniquely yours. But once you have the basis, then you can run with it and make it as fast and effective as possible. Because hypnosis and NLP, you know, their claim to fame is speed. And so I want to make sure that it's fast and effective.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, now I'm going to put a surprise question on you. This is the hardest question I ever get asked about NLP. And because I'll be teaching a class and goes, are you going to teach any NLP? What's NLP? And you're going to have a lot easier time answering this than me, because I always have to kind of stutter my way through this. Will, what is NLP?
Well, NLP, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, it's a big word for, basically, it's, one of the founders said, you know, it's a methodology that leaves in its wake a trail of techniques. I'm not sure what that means, right? I think what it is it teaches you the structure of how people think, not why people are doing anything or any of the psychological aspects. It's the structure of how people think. And when you begin to change the structure of how people think, then it changes their representation of it, their feelings about it, and it shifts their thoughts. So what NLP is basically, it's a software for the brain. You know, we've got programs uploaded in us. A good example would be, you know, driving a car. You know, I drive a car, as you do, but if you get in a different car, you got to get used to it because you're running an old program. But our brains get stuck in old programs. And so we need to be able to be flexible enough to install new programs. But to know that, you have to first figure out what those programs are and change it. And so that's basically what NLP is. It's the structure of how you think and how to either improve it or alter it.
And ultimately to change behavior, right?
Right, because it's changing how you think about things at the subconscious level, which will change your behavior at the conscious level. And you just find yourself making different choices, doing different things. Sometimes people are surprised.
Sometimes you're surprised, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like, I love when they come back and go, that was strange. I just was at a place and there was, you know, one of their old triggers if they're getting rid of a habit. And they were there and I just had a lady do that. She goes, I had no desire, you know, to eat the dessert. She passed the dessert tray. And she goes, I really didn't think about it till later, till her girlfriends pointed it out. And I go, now that is elegant change.
So that brings me to the question, how can a hypnotist use NLP?
Well, you know, I always think that they're kind of, two sides of the same coin. You know, because the processes that NLP use are hypnotic in origin. And usually what's kind of fascinating, when I teach hypnotists NLP, they see it at a different level because they already understand the hypnosis and bypassing the critical factors of the mind. So what we're doing is we're getting to that level of the mind and beginning to make the changes. And when I teach it to non-hypnotists, and then they learn hypnosis, well, they're looking at hypnosis through an NLP frame. So, but they really go together because it's kind of sad that back, 30-something years ago, there seemed to be kind of a split between hypnotists and NLPers. And, you know, that started to change, in the early 90s when the National Guild and a few of the other hypnosis organizations began to embrace it. And, I was lucky enough to be there to help bring that in. And a simple example of how a hypnotist can use it is if someone's brand new to hypnosis and they're learning the skills and they're beginning to do their inductions, and let's say they're going to do a progressive relaxation. Well, if they take the couple of minutes that you learn with the NLP and learn out what is the structure of how that client likes to think, do they think in pictures, do they think in sounds, or do they think in feelings? So when they start to customize, if they were just going to do a progressive relaxation, which isn't my favorite, but if someone's going to do that, rather than talk about what the person will see, if the person has to be feeling or kinesthetic, then they just change it a little bit so it becomes more kinesthetic. So it cuts through the clutter of the mind and goes right to the person can understand it. So it's those little bitty things that NLP brings to the table for a clinical hypnotist that goes, whoa, it speeds up your effectiveness.
Okay, so cool. So you don't have to change what you're doing. You can just, with little modifications, you can just become more efficient and more effective, right?
Yeah, it's all about making whatever your primary modality of changing more effective. You know, I have people that love regression hypnosis. I have people that do more what I would call direct kind of, more script-based hypnosis. Then I've got people that do the EMDR, the EFT. That's what they really like. And then what they do is they take the NLP and they use a couple of the little things, like I said, how a person thinks, the rapport techniques, and a few other things to customize what they're already doing to make it more effective for each and every client.
Cool. So, you know, I don't know if we've actually said it. NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So how can neuro-linguistic programming, aka NLP, be integrated into like regression, for example?
Well, if you're doing regression, well, one of the things, NLP helps you, get a better level of rapport. So you're more the client's more comfortable with you. So it helps them relax quicker. That's when I talk about rapport, as you well know, it's not about clients liking you. It's about clients trusting you. There's a difference. Sometimes they go together, but sometimes they just trust you. And of course, if you're going to open yourself up to go back into a regression, the more trust there is, the easier it is. And so it can speed that process up. Also, it can help you tweak, your questioning just a slight bit. So when you're asking the person questions, when you're in the regression, it's easier for their subconscious mind to decode it, if you will. Because again, if a person's, let's say, if they're more visual, but if you are using just feeling questions, their subconscious mind has to take a second and flip it. But if you start by asking the visual questions, what do you see? What is this? What is that? And then also bring in the kinesthetic or the feeling, it makes it even more effective. So a regression-based person can use it that way. Also, there's a lot of really cool NLP techniques that I call takeaways. So you've done a really good regression work with someone, and they're making some breakthroughs. And then as they're, you take 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes at the end of a session and give them a technique that they can do, bam, that, is in what we call an anchoring technique to anchor in the changes that they're installing in the client or they're installing in themselves. We're just facilitators. But also little things they can do when they're faced with, let's say, a trigger that could have been, the precipitating trigger to get them into the negative state. So there's some really cool, fast NLP techniques you can do. And then, of course, the great thing that a regression person can do is, when you're in a social setting and you don't have time to do a formal regression, if you can just make a couple little tweaks to the person and they go, wow, that is so cool. I didn't know my brain works that way. And then you can really say, well, if you think that's cool, then we can go down and talk about how you were, all the imprints that you had when you were growing up. And then it opens up a different kind of dialogue.
As you're doing this, we don't have time to talk about it in this episode, but we'll do it next time. But as you're talking about these NLP techniques, you might run into someone at a dinner party or whatever, and they find out that you're a hypnotist and stuff, and they go, I wish you could do something for me now. I go, well, this is not an ideal place to do hypnosis, but let me do it, and I might label it kind of like a waking hypnosis or a technique on you, and show them some instantaneous results, and then they'll want to make an appointment with you, right?
Right.
Okay, hey, so I know that our viewers, they don't have all day for us to do this. So I know they want to hear about, can you tell them how to do the quick submodality shift technique?
Great, yeah, I'd love to. And this one's pretty easy because it's based on the structure of how your brain sorts and stores information. Not why or what or anything. It's just how your brain's doing different little things. And it's really easy to decode. So rather than me explain it for 20 minutes, let me just give an example. And Cal, you can do this also. And you can do it with your eyes open or your eyes closed. But if you could imagine somebody you really, really like, a buddy, a pal, a friend, somebody you respect and admire, you like being around them, they make you laugh, right? Now, I always say it's a little bit better with your eyes closed. If you close your eyes and you imagine that person, not a lover or a spouse or anything like that, but a really good buddy, pal, friend, right? So if you imagine that person, and if you were surrounded with a grid pattern, and they would take an external representation, maybe to the left, to the right, maybe they're clear, maybe the picture's big, but they kind of take a location and a color and a sound, and it brings up that good feeling that you have when you're around this person. Now, just kind of notice this. This is the person you like. Great. Now, if you would open your eyes and close your eyes, and now if you think about a person you really don't like, and it's okay that you don't like them. Maybe they're a whiner. They're just stuck where they are, and they don't want to change. Wah! That kind of person. Now, if you close your eyes and think about this person, that you really don't like, and let them take that same representational system. They'll take the same representational system, but they'll be somewhere else. Probably the location's different, the color's different, the sound's different, and of course the feeling's different. Now, what I'd like you to do is tell your brain, it's okay, we're just gonna play. Take that person you don't like and move them over to the area of the person you like and see what your brain says, right? Try to move them, slide them, click them over and see what happens, right? Now, open your eyes. Now, for most people, what happens is their brain goes, no, it pushes the person back. It says, no, they don't deserve it. It doesn't feel right, right? And what happened to you, Cal?
Well, you know, I was doing what I was told because I don't learn by resisting. And so I did the actual shift to that position. And then how I felt while imagining that person changed to a more positive feeling.
Right. And so what that shows you is a couple of things. One is, I always say, like the old things our parents have told us forever, watch out who you're hanging out with. So, you know, if you hang, when you're a, one of your kids hangs out with a troublemaker, they get stored in the troublemaker spot to everybody's brain. But, you know, it's just kind of how your brain's sorting information. Now, if you spread this out, it's not just people. When you think about food you really like, it'll take a certain structure in your brain, where it is, what it is, you know, and that. And putting logic aside, this is the really cool stuff, as you know, like about regression, logic doesn't really come into play. And with this, it's how you think about it. So if someone is trying to get rid of especially like a very specific food, you know, like chips, but they only eat Jay's potato chips. They don't eat other things, but they're really hooked on Jay's. Well, if you figure that out, where it is in their mind, how they represent it in their mind, and that, and then you change it. And let's say you move it to an area of the brain of a food they just don't like or they're neutral about. Well, it begins to separate that anchor deep at the subconscious mind. And there's no conscious interference because you're not using logic like, I know those, but you know those potato chips are bad for you, you shouldn't have them. Well, that brings up all that conscious resistance. If you just switch the submodalities of it, stuff begins to change. To me, that's one of the magic little things that you can do when you're just talking to people. Plus, people don't realize that at the operating level, your brain's not that complicated, right? Your brain's pretty simple on the operation level. And then we add the levels of consciousness and thought and all that stuff, then it gets more, takes more effort. But, you know, we're working at that process level. That's why I think they call it, and I like to call it programming. We're changing the program, and then it'll ripple out afterwards. So let's say if we would have done that with food and we switch a food around, so now, you know, the food you used to obsess over, like Jay's potato chips, you move it over to liver, if you're a person that doesn't like liver, then the next time Jay's potato chips is in your, you know, in your consciousness, you bypass it because it's like, nah, I don't want that. And that's where you get that really elegant little change.
Awesome. And I can imagine that if you're a hypnotist and you put someone into hypnosis and do that work, it would even be more powerful, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's what, you know, like I said, if it works just like standing there at a dinner party or you're at Starbucks and you show somebody a cool little thing in their brain and you bring them into your office and you put them into a trance, you do Dave Elman, a relaxation, and you got them so they're relaxed, then you move those things around, bam, it's even more effective.
Awesome. Hey, that's exciting. So there you go, you guys. You got something you can start working with for self-improvement right away. You can, once you've got it down, you're using it on yourself, then you can start explaining it to clients and other people and getting them excited and helping them to make the changes. So Will, why don't you give us a quick little rundown on what the course is about?
Well, the course is broken down very structured. One of the things that I was lucky enough to do, is teach it over and over again, much like a lot of people teach a lot of classes. And so there was always a disconnect. People would jump in and try to teach a too complicated process early on, right? So what I did is I used NLP to break down how is this stuff most effective at the easiest levels. And so the course is broken down, so you begin to, you learn the base, some of the basic things, and it layers in the stuff as we go along. But each level brings a technique, some ideas, some concepts that you can use instantly. And I guarantee that when people leave that 4-day course, they have a set of tools or a toolbox, if you will, that will alter how they do things, right? From their communication with their friends and family to their communication with their clients, because you're always communicating. And, you know, it just makes you more effective. And what I suggest people do, and then I'll give a little quick overview of the class, is bring some issues you'd like to fix in your own life, right? Because that makes the learning even more effective. Maybe there's little things you're still stuck on, food you want to get rid of, maybe some habits you want to start, exercise, do different things, drink more water, whatever it is. Maybe you have some thoughts or ideas, beliefs that you need to shift. Bring those with you when you come to the class, so when we start doing the exercises, you're working on real things. That's one of the other changes that I brought in, because I want people working not in theory, you know, in real world things. So you're trying to change some things in your life. And then your co-classmates are working on things, and it makes it much more serious. You're really making some shifts together, and you grow. And there's nothing like that personal breakthrough that you experience to really make the learning even more effective. So what I do is I first teach, you know, how some basic things about NLP, and then we start in with the info gathering, you know, submodalities, strategies, things like that, which sounds like, ooh, what is all that? But I make it very simple. I don't use a lot of the gobbledygook in the NLP world. I use real-world terms. And since, if you're especially familiar with hypnosis, you'll be able to implement it into your hypnosis practice right away. And then we get into the techniques that people that kind of made NLP famous, you know, the new behavior generator, the visual squash, the you know, phobia technique, the mending a broken heart. You've already got the basics, so you understand how it's working. So then, and one of the beauties I always love in a class is when I see clients on that third, fourth day, when they're doing something, they have enough of a knowledge base that they can customize it for the person sitting in front of them, which they're going to have to do the day after they walk out of my class. So I break it down, I make it simple, make it fast. The manual is very easy to do. It's cookie cutter approach, so it's easy to replicate. And then, of course, as you well know, and like a lot of the people in the National Guild of Hypnotists, I'm always available by email or phone. We might play a little tag, but you know, if you have questions, I'm there to follow you up, because once you're completed, you go into the National Federation of Neurolinguistic Programming, and you know, it gives you some benefits and some things, so you can use those things and to keep in touch.
Perfect. Good. All right, so you folks out there, Will's Ultimate Basic NLP Certification Course plus NFNLP membership. It's at our center here in Tustin, California, and it's June 19th, that's a Friday, through June 22nd, that's a Monday, this year, 2015. All the details are at calbanion.com, calbanion.com/NLP. And all right. Man, oh man, was that exciting. I learned something. I know you learned something. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold Will back. I'm going to get at least a couple more episodes in here and get you some more techniques that you can use right away to help yourself and to help others. All right, that's it. Thank you very much, Will.
Thank you. It's a joy.
Cal Banion, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.